my mind on these types of things. So we'll see. If anyone wants to twist my arm, we could try. But I think this is the last year of the summer. So I want to thank Esther and Jerry for opening the home, and I want to thank everyone for joining us all these weeks. And of course, we want to again dedicate today's shiur for the refuah shleima of Esther's mother, Dvorah Chaya Bas Tila, B'soch Shar Chulei Yisrael. I thought as we say goodbye to Chodesh Av, even though we're sort of just across the halfway point of Chodesh Av, but before you know it, we'll be in Shul on Shabbos, and we'll be talking about Elul, we'll be Mavari Chodesh Elul, and Chodesh Av is probably one of the strangest months in the entire calendar year. It has such a strange mix of emotions. On the one hand, the month is this dark, scary month of Chorban, of destruction, of galus, of mourning. And then along the way, there's all these feelings of hope and inspiration. It's funny, someone said to me, I may have mentioned it in one of the earlier shurim. It's a funny thing though, if you think about it, Tisha B'Av has become, for many people, like the most inspiring day of the calendar year. You go to shiurim, you're watching things online, and there's so many opportunities for the day where the Gemara says and the Halacha says that it's usher to learn Torah. It's a day where, you know, people can sit with Rabbi J.J. Schachter for 12 hours learning Torah. Who does that any other day of the year? The one day of the year, one day of the calendar year when you're not allowed to be studying Torah. So it's a funny kind of month. There's sadness, there's galus, there's redemption, there's hope, there's inspiration, there's brokenness, there's mourning. It's a very, very strange mix. And Yeshaya HaNavi, in the first pasuk, in the first source, rather the very end of Sefer Yeshaya, in Perek Samach Vav, Pasuk Vav Gimel, describes a future where the whole world is going to recognize the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And in describing that, he says, unlike today, well, unfortunately not today, but unlike in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, where we would go Aliyah LaRegel, we'd go up to visit the Beis HaMikdash 3 times a year, Yeshaya Navi describes, V'haya mide chodesh b'chadsho, u'mide shabbos b'shabbato, yavo kol basar l'shtachavos l'fanaya amar Hashem. Hashem says that in the future, mide chodesh b'chadsho, every chodesh, every Rosh Chodesh, a Jew will travel to the Beis HaMikdash. Not only that, mide shabbos b'shabbato, every single Shabbos, a Jew will come to the Beis HaMikdash. Now there's a lot of discussion. Is this to be taken literally? Is this a changing of the halachos as we know it? Right now there's an obligation. Again, we can't do it really, but there's an obligation to come 3 times a year to the Beis HaMikdash and offer karbanos on the 3 major holidays. Are we really going to come every Rosh Chodesh, every Shabbos to Beis HaMikdash? Yavo kol basar l'shtachavos l'fanei amar Hashem? That all of mankind, not just the Jews, kol basar, all of mankind is going to come to prostrate before me, says Hashem. Very interesting pasuk, a lot to think about there. But the Chassam Sofer writes, he finds in those opening words, V'haya mide chodesh b'chadsho, he finds a hint to chodesh Menachem Av. Because he says Menachem Av is such a strange month. On the one hand, it's so broken. On the other hand, it's so inspiring. There's so much potential. There's so much galus, and then yet there's so much the birth of Geula, Mashiach. The Medrash says it's born on Tisha B'Av. So how do you understand this month? Says the Chassam Sofer. It's in his writings on Parshas Maaseh in source number 2. V'haya mide chodesh b'chadsho, ulai remez al chodesh Av. Perhaps chodesh b'chadsho. Right, a month within a month, so to speak, is a reference to Chodesh Av. The Talmud Yerushalmi tells us, where it's bolded, the Acher Tisha B'Av Mastil Chodesh Acher. Once we get into the back nine, so to speak, right, the backside of Chodesh Av, we've crossed the halfway point. Friday was Tu B'Av. Chassam Sofer says already even past Tisha B'Av. Once you get past that uncomfortable encounter called Tisha B'Av, it's a different month. It begins a new month. It's as if it's a new month. And how do you see that even in the name of the month? What do we call the month of Av? We don't just call it Av. We call it Menachem Av. It has 2 names. It says the Chassam Sofer, V'nir Ali, that's what Nun Lamed stands for in the second line. Mishum hachi noagin lekro lo shem chodesh Menachem. We should actually call the back half of Chodesh Av, Chodesh Menachem. Or, if we call the whole month Menachem Av, we should really emphasize the Av part for the first part of the month, and the Menachem, the Nechama part, for the second part of the month. V'hainu chodesh b'chadsho, says the Chassam Sofer. That's what the pasuk is hinting to. Chodesh b'chadsho means hachodesh shemischadish b'chadsho hainu Menachem. It's a chodesh that renews itself from within itself. Namely, the month of Av, which starts off, again, so broken and so filled with galus and chorban, and then it emerges, it transforms itself into this tremendous Nechama. In this tremendous sense of almost menucha that comes after Tisha B'Av. Va'osa Shabbos Shavashua Sha'achar Tisha B'av Miyad Hainu Shabbos V'Shavato. And the Shabbos, it also transforms itself, that you go straight from sitting on the ground on Tisha B'av all of a sudden to Shabbos Nachmu, one of the most comforting Shabbosos of the year. It says the Chassam Sofer, that's what Yeshaya Navi is sort of offering a hope for the future, that there should always be a sort of this transformation for the good. So what the Chassam Sofer is telling us is again that the month of Av is really 2 months combined into one. There's Chodesh Av, and there's Chodesh Menachem. And it's very interesting, the Chassam Sofer himself, Rav Moshe Sofer, when he would write his tshuvos, when he would write responsa, when he would respond to people who had sent him letters, if he wrote the letter before Tisha B'Av, he would sign it, written in the month of Av. And if he was dating the letter after Tisha B'Av, he would date it, this letter was written, I've seen it, in Orach Chaim, in the first section of his tshuvos, in Siman Dalet. He has a tshuva about regular daily laws. Orach Chaim means daily laws. So he dates that tshuva, Chodesh Menachem. He signs it in the month of Menachem. He signs it, I think, the 17th of Menachem. Because any point after Tisha B'Av is not Chodesh Av anymore. It's called Chodesh Menachem. Very, very interesting. So again, the first part of the month is this harsh presentation, so to speak, Chodesh Av, as we understand it. And then we transition to Chodesh Menachem. What's interesting is that the name Av means father, literally. And I want to try to understand that for a minute. I want to try to understand that dual relationship that the father sometimes presents in interacting with his child. What is, according to the Torah, the primary presentation of a father? Now you'll say, maybe it's different, maybe your father wasn't like that, or your husband's not like that, or your child's not going to be like that one day when he becomes a father. Right? Of course there are different emotional makeups, but for the most part, the Torah identifies sort of the standard presentation of the father as opposed to the mother. Who generally is more strict, generally. Again, there are certainly exceptions, different emotional configurations and experiences of one's life. Who generally, according to the Torah, is perceived to be the more frightful of the two parents, and who's the softer of the two parents? The father presents more the aspect of Yira, and the mother presents more the aspect of Ava. Again, it's not always the case, there are exceptions, but the Torah seems to see it that way. And that's why when the Torah is describing the mitzvah to honor and to fear one's parents, the Torah does something very interesting. From a psychological perspective, it's very interesting. In source number 3, the Pasuk says in Kedoshim, Ish imo v'aviv tira. A child should fear his mother and his father. And guard the Shabbos. Why does it put the mother before the father when it comes to fear, the mitzvah of Mora, of showing awe and that deep respect? Why does it place the mother before the father? And when it talks about honoring parents, why does it do just the opposite? Kavod es avicha v'asimecha. By kibud, by honoring, it puts the father before the mother. The Torah is doing something here very, very precisely. So Rashi tells us over there in Parshas Kedoshim, in source number 4, that the Torah knew that a person has a natural inclination, a natural disposition of a parent towards a child. Says Rashi in source number 4, Imo v'aviv tirau, kan hikdim eim la'av. Here it places the mother before the father. It says you should have awe, you should have fear. Right? Yira is not really fear, it's more awe. But to make the point, we'll translate it loosely as fear. You should have more fear of the mother than the father. Why is that so? It says Rashi where it's bolded. Lefisha galui lefanam, because it was very well known to Hashem. Sha'ben yarias aviv yoser mi'imo. That a child naturally, and again there are certainly exceptions, but generally speaking, the child is more frightened, has more awe, that type of respect for the father, more so than the mother. Uvekavod, when it comes to kaved as avicha vesimecha, places the father first. Levisha gol elefana, because Hashem knew with His infinite wisdom, shaben mechaved esimo yosem aviv, that the child is more naturally going to have a certain respect for the mother with regards to kavod, because of the ava, as Rashi says, because the mother has a certain way of speaking to the child. The mother plays perhaps more of a primary role in developing the child and raising the child. And therefore the child, naturally, the mother carried the child and produced the child inside of her for 9 months. So therefore the child has a certain connection to the mother that's a certain depth of love that's not automatically felt by the father. So what do you see from this Rashi? What do you see from this presentation of the Torah? What it's telling us is that the revealed and outward presentation of a father is one of what? Is one of Yira. The Torah is trying to compensate by saying, make sure you fear your mother to balance things out. But essentially, the Torah is acknowledging the fact that naturally, the revealed state of the father is one that's a little bit more of Yira, of pachad, of fear, of awe. Midas hadin, right? The one who's strict judgment. You get in trouble with the father, you go to the mother, and you try to let the mother wipe away the tears. Again, it's not always that way, but that's often how it is, and that's the Torah's presentation. So now, I want to look at a famous Maamar Chazal. I know we kind of want to move past Tisha B'Av at this point, and we want to focus more on Chodesh Menachem, but I want to understand where we're holding now, and what the end of the month of Av offers us as we transition to El and the Yom Noram. And the only way to do that, like we spoke last week, is the contrast from the beginning of the month. So we all know a very famous Mishnah on Maseches Tanis, in source number 5. Mishenichnos Av, mematin b'simcha. When Chodesh Av arrives, mematin b'simcha, we lessen our joy. Right? There's that feeling of yira, of pacha, of midas hadin, of Hashem's strict judgment governing the world. So I'd like to try to explain this Maamar Chazal, Mishnichnos Av, mematin b'simcha, with the following mashal. Imagine a child, a teenage boy, and he's getting a little bit older, he's becoming a little bit more savvy, a little bit more in tune with the realities of the world around him, and he's curious, he's in a stage of, maturing, reaching a certain stage of puberty, he's becoming more interested in the world around him, he's becoming curious, he's more tempted by some of the forbidden fruits of the world, and this child wants to do something. He knows he shouldn't do it. Let's say, we'll pick an example. He sees billboards on the highway with people smoking. He thinks it's cool to smoke. His parents have told him a million times, we don't smoke, it's a disgusting habit, it's so dangerous. It's not the behavior that we would expect. We would never expect you to be found involved in this type of behavior. His parents have spoken to him about the danger of smoking, of drugs, of all these dangerous things. But he's tempted. The world has a lot to offer, and he's tempted. So he decides, this kid goes and he buys a pack. So now he gets his hand on a pack of cigarettes. And he's going to smoke his first cigarette. Because he's curious, he wants to see what it is. He knows he shouldn't, he knows it's wrong. He knows his parents would be so upset. But he goes and he buys this pack of cigarettes, he sneaks it home. And he's hiding in his room, he's leaning out the window, he doesn't want the smoke to smell up the room. He's leaning out the window, he's about to take this first puff of a cigarette. He's so curious, what is it that all these billboards are talking about? He wants to see what's it about. And all of a sudden, as he lights the cigarette, all of a sudden the door swings open and his father walks into the room. Right? Now father, again, is just a mashal, but again, the Torah uses father as the example of the one who the child is more frightened of. And I think that mashal is exactly, on a deeper level, what Chazal are hinting to. Mishenichnas Av, when the father enters, mematin b'simcha. All the joy, all the excitement, all of the mystery of what it's going to be like to taste from the forbidden fruits that this teenage child is about to allow himself to indulge in, right? Mishenichnas Av, when the father entered, mematin b'simcha. This child doesn't know what to do with himself. He's endlessly embarrassed in front of his father, and his father's standing there quietly by the door, and he sees what he's doing, and he doesn't know what to do. I've let my parents down. I let myself down. Why did I get involved with this? This isn't who I am, right? And the father, there's no words even spoken yet. And the child's already playing this whole long discussion over in his head. He's totally embedded. My parents aren't going to trust me anymore. And I look how I've undermined our whole relationship. Mishenichnas Av, and the father enters the room, mematin b'simcha. And then the father starts to speak. And at this point, the child can barely hear the words the father's saying. What's going on? Why would you do this? We spoke to you so many times about this. This is not the behavior we expect from you. Maybe you're hanging out with the wrong crowd. Right? And all this stuff starts to come out, and it's so uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable for the father or the mother. Again, this is the bushel of the parent. And it's uncomfortable for the child. Terribly, terribly uncomfortable. But what happens afterwards? What happens after the father finishes his monologue? He tells the child, these are the consequences because you did this, da 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 da. Right? And the child's kicking himself. Oh, was it worth it? It's so foolish. Why did they get involved with this? What happens afterwards? Afterwards, hopefully, if it's a healthy relationship between the parent and the child, after the child feels so embarrassed and the father says, listen, there are going to be consequences for your behavior, but what happens next? What happens next is that hopefully the father and son sit down and have a very, very meaningful conversation about how did this come about? How did we get to this point? Is it your friends that are influencing you in the wrong way? Is it something that's missing in your life that you feel that you need to turn to again, to dangerous practices, to all sorts of things that are really not how we expect you to live your life, choices, making poor choices, right? And amidst all that intense tension that's felt between the father and the child, all of a sudden, there's this tremendous breakthrough and deepening of the relationship. To the point that when the father walks out of the room, the child in some kind of a way, and the father in some kind of way, are almost happy that this happened. He's almost happy he got caught. This kid's almost happy he got caught at the end, because he learned so much from that experience. It was a very awkward and uncomfortable experience. But in a certain sense, the child has matured from that very, very uncomfortable encounter. And that's really what Tisha B'Av is. We mentioned last week that Tisha B'Av is called a moed. Kara alai moed. Pasuk says in Megillas Eicha, in source number 6. Right? Sila kol abirai, Adonai b'kirbi, kara alai moed. It means the enemies declared a festival out of me. The enemy said, go and destroy the Jews. Have a good time with the Jews. Kara alai moed, though, also reflects that there's an element of moed. Moed normally means a Yom Tov when it comes to Tisha B'Av. We spoke a little bit last week what the Yom Tov of Tisha B'Av is. But Moed means something else. Moed doesn't only translate as a festival, as a celebration. Rav Gifter wrote a volume called Torah Perspectives, an English volume, essays from Rav Mordechai Gifter, the Rosh Hashiva from Telz, Zatzal. And he writes in an essay called The Path Through the Ashes, he's reflecting on the Holocaust, in source number 7, when referring to Tisha B'Av, the prophet Jeremiah calls the day Moed, a word that usually refers to a festival. So immediately you'll pause in your tracks and say, what's the festival? Tisha B'Av is a festival. It's hardly a festival. The Telsha Rav, Harav Rav Avram Yitzchak Blach, right? The Telz Rosh Hashiva, Rav Gifter himself would go on to become the Rosh Hashiva of Telz, explains that the word Moed is derived from the word Vad, appointment. You're making an appointment with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a chat, a conversation, a very uncomfortable conversation, a meeting, the meeting is filled with a lot of tension. But there's an important meeting that takes place on Tisha B'Av. It is the time of appointment of Hashem with the world when His greatness is manifested. This greatness can be seen from two aspects. Through the miracles of redemption, joy, and happiness, the exodus from Egypt, or through destruction, pain, and sorrow, the exodus from Jerusalem. A destruction so great that it could only have been administered by divine plan. Says Rav Gifter, in the name of Avraham Yitzchak Blach, what is the moed that we experience every year on Tisha B'Av? Moed means an encounter. Mishenichnas av mematin b'simcha. When the father comes to town, when the father walks in, and again, he walks in. And again, father again is a mashal. Father again is a mashal. It's a parent, it's a role model. It could be anyone who this child looks up to, and anyone who this child really wants to be like, but loses his way, so to speak, and starts to act in a different way, and then gets caught by the role model in this misdeed, in this poor behavior, making this poor choice, and they have this encounter. Again, the initial encounter is so uncomfortable. But hopefully, as they work through it, they both walk away, and there's a sort of reconciliation. When the father walks out of the room, right, Mishenichnas av, when the father first entered the room, it was very uncomfortable. But by the time the father walks out of the room, as we turn to the back half of Chodesh Av, when the father is exiting the room, right, it's a different feeling. There's something that's very, very much filled with nechama. There's a possibility of reconciliation. There's a warming of the relationship that came about through that intense separation that took place. This week's parsha, and it's all of these parshas, by the way, all the parshas that we're reading this time here. Next week's parsha, we read the pasuk Banim Atem LaHashem Elokeichem, right, where Hashem says, "You are my children." But it's all over. We had it from Devarim on, from right before Tisha B'Av, because Hashem always puts a little bit of the refuah, a little bit of the healing before the final punishment. So from Devarim, Eschana, and Ekev, you look in all these parshas, there's all these themes of father and son, and positive themes of father and son. For example, take a look in this week's parsha, source number 8. V'yadata. Hashem says to the Jewish people, Moshe Rabbeinu is relaying to the Jewish people, everything you went through in the Midbar, all the 40 years that you were tested, it's not because God doesn't like you. V'yadata im levavecha, ki kasher yiyaser ish es bino, Hashem elokecha miyasreka. The same way that a father will chastise and rebuke a child, right? The same way that a parent will rebuke his or her child, Hashem elokecha miyasreka. That's how Hashem has challenged you, has tested you, has afflicted you. Meaning that Hashem is not in it to destroy you. The same way that a parent's not in it. The parent's not upset at the child when he caught him, you know, involved in that negative behavior because the parent doesn't like the child. Just the opposite. The parent says, I have such high hopes for you that I'm so disappointed that you're not living up to those high hopes. That's the frustration. That's why I'm angry at you. Because I love you so much and I believe in you more than you believe in yourself. And that's what the Shlach Kadosh writes in source number 9. The Shnei Luchos Habris, the Shlach Kadosh, of Yishai HaLevi Horowitz Atzal. He writes back in Parshas Balak. You have to understand. Kikash, again, what does the pasuk say? Kasher yiyaser ish es bino. The way that a parent afflicts a child, the way that a parent afflicts or punishes or challenges or tests a child is very different than the way that someone who's not that parent's child might take out their anger towards that child. Says the Shlach Kadosh in source number 9, Da, ki ein ra yored melamala l'umay Yisraelis ki banim heim l'Hashem. There's nothing that's inherently bad. When Hashem challenges a Jew, puts him through a difficult situation, it's never because Hashem wants to do bad for that person. That undermines the whole purpose of creation of the world. Hashem created the world because He wants to do good. That's the basic premise by which God created the world. God says, I am the source of all goodness. I'm such a good God that I want to share it with everyone else. So Hashem created the world to give us a good time. Now, a good time doesn't always mean that it's fun. It doesn't mean that there aren't going to be challenges. But it means that the underlying theme of everything you're going to go through in your life is to refine you, is to make you better, is to challenge you and to lift you up. That's what the word nisayon means. A test is milashon nes, a banner that's lifted up high, to raise you up to a new level. So says the Shlach Kadosh, there is no negativity that descends upon the Jewish people. Ki banim heim l'Hashem. It's inherently good, because you are the children of Hashem. Again, as we'll say in next week's Parsha, Perek Yudal and Pasuk Aleph, banim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem. V'af, shechara af Hashem bahem, v'charbanos hamikdashos, v'chorban Yisrael, v'galyusam bein umos. And if you'll say, well, if you love me so much, God, so why do you destroy the Beis HaMikdash? Why do you destroy the Jewish people? Why do you send us into exile amongst the nations of the world? Hakol hu l'tovasam. Realize, have deeper vision, a little bit like we spoke last week. Realize that it's all for your benefit. V'kasher, and he paraphrases, look what the Shlach is doing here in source number 9. He's paraphrasing the pasuk from this week's parsha. V'kasher yaser ishas beno, Hashem yasrenu, v'akol es tovosenu. Why is it different when a parent, why is it different when the father, when the parent, chastises the son? What does this pasuk even mean in this week's parsha? Ka'asher yi'aser ish as beno. The way that a parent challenges a child, that's how Hashem challenges you. What's different, let's say, than the way that a king who feels that he's been disrespected, right, will seek vengeance against that person from his kingdom who's been, you know, disloyal, as opposed to a parent who's been disappointed in the behavior of the child? What's the basic difference? That when a father has the ability to punish, when the father afflicts, how is it different? What's the positivity that's found within the affliction, the challenge, the confrontation, mishenichlas av, when the father encounters? What's the positivity that emerges from that encounter as opposed to an encounter with a king? So if you look in sources 10 and 11, the Gemara is very clear. A king does not have the ability to forego his honor. A king can't be mochel on his cover. The Gemara says in Kedushin, in source number 10, Lamed Beis Lamed Beis, Melech Shemachal Al Kvodo. If a king says, no big deal, you disappointed me, you disrespected me, you disregarded my command, and I'm going to ignore such a thing. The Torah does not give a king permission to overlook that injustice. Melech Shemachal Al Kvodo, a king who tries to forego his honor, Ein Kvodo Machal, it doesn't work. We have to defend the honor of the king, 100%. Why? The Torah says, Som tasim alecha melech, place a king above you, upon you, shetehei emaso alecha. That ema, that fear that the melech is supposed to express cannot be overlooked, cannot be forgiven. Why? Because it can create anarchy. It'll overthrow the entire kingdom. How about a parent? A parent also has to be treated with kavod, and also with mora, and with that deep sense of respect. Can a parent choose to overlook the child's injustice? Can the parent choose to waive that right of honor? Says the Gemara in source number 11, Amr of Yitzchak Bar Shila, Amr of Mas, Amr of Chista, Ha'av Shemachal Al Kvodo. But if a father or a mother wants to overlook, wants to be mochel, wants to forgive, wants to forego the honor that they're afforded by the Torah, Kvodo Machal. The parent has the ability to do such a thing. So what do you see? What's the difference between a parent and a king? Again, a king has to toe the line. But a parent, when the child has an uncomfortable encounter with the parent also has the right to punish. The parent also has the right to be upset. But the parent also, built into that relationship, is the possibility of what? Of mechila. That's the word the Gemara is using. Mechila, forgiveness, of reconciliation. And again, that's exactly the feeling that we're supposed to have at the end of Chodesh Av. After the moed, after that horrible encounter called Tisha B'Av, after Mishenichnas Av and the Father walked in on us and caught us with all our misdeeds, and had to take away our Beis HaMikdash, and had to punish us, and had to do all sorts of things. But when the father walks out of the room, it's a very, very different feeling. Because the father, along with that child, feels the pain of that child's misdeed. The parent feels responsible. How did I allow it? And it's not always the parent's fault. Obviously, we're dealing with very broad situations here. A parent can't take all of the responsibility for the child's bad choice. But the parent feels bad. The parent feels bad. How did it happen that my child thought that smoking was something that they wanted to try? How did I not instill within them more of an appreciation? This is just, it's a dangerous behavior. It's not something that we do. The parent carries the burden of the child's bad choices and feels an achrayus, feels a deep sense of responsibility to carry that weight. The Chida was a great Sephardi Chacham, lived about 300 years ago, and he writes in source number 12 in his Nachal Kadumin. Again, a pasuk that we read right before Tisha B'Av, just to show you again that transition and that sense of responsibility that Hashem has taken upon Himself, Kiviyachol, to carry our sins. The pasuk says in Devarim, Asher nisa'acha Hashem Elokecha, kasher yisa ishas bena. Hashem has carried you the way that a father carries a child. Says the Chida, in source number 12, he wrote a book called the Nachal Kedumim, Asher nisa'acha Hashem Elokecha. He quotes from Rabbeinu Ephraim, one of the early Rishonim, Asher nisa'acha, he says, Asher nisa'acha literally means to carry, but that expression of nisa'acha is also a lashon shemachal avonosecha. It means that the father has the ability, nisa'acha, to what? To forgive the iniquity. Kamo imtisa chatasam. Imtisa chatasam means to forgive the sins. So says the Chida, look at the end of the pasuk. Asher nisa'acha Hashem lokecha, Hashem can forgive you of your sins. Ulefi zeh, says the Chida in the last line, kasher yisa ish es bino kiviyachol. The same way that what? That a father carries the burden and the iniquity of the child. That's the unique encounter that takes place when it's an uncomfortable encounter, but an encounter with a parent. And that's what we're supposed to be feeling after Tisha B'Av. That's the feeling, certainly after Tu B'Av, that Mishenichnas Av, when the father first walked into the room, it was so uncomfortable. But now, as you get to the halfway point of the month, and the father, the month of Av, is starting to walk out of the room, it's a very different feeling. The father is presenting that more gentle, loving, understanding side. There's reconciliation, there's mechila, there's forgiveness. And of course, that's exactly what we're heading towards. The month of Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, it's all that opportunity for healing and for mechila. Tu B'Av, which again was this past Friday, really is the beginning of the Yom Noram. It's the beginning of the Yom Noram. How is Tu B'Av the beginning of the high holidays? How does Tu B'Av usher in this new period that's about to come? The Bnei Yisrael writes in source 13, "Umi'ata bin tavin es asher lefanecha im bal nefesh ata." Now you will understand. If you've thought about Tu B'Av, you'll understand deeply what the opportunity is being presented to you. And now we're going to transition to talk about our part, because again, it's not just that the father has to kind of work through it on his side with this child. The child also has to be willing to work with the father to come to a reconciliation, to take that father. The child can be so embarrassed of what he did, he doesn't want to have that conversation with the father. He's not ready to have that conversation. But if there's a sense of depth and maturity, then the child's willing to talk it out and is willing to realize, listen, I got myself into trouble, but we can work through this. And we can both feel a lot better by the end. Says the Bnei Yisrael, where it's bolded in 13. Yom Tu B'Av hu haschalas ha'ara min yemei ha'mishpat. Tu B'Av is the first glimmer of light from the days of judgment that are coming. How so? So he quotes a Gemara in Maseches Sota. Shu yom ha'noad arba'im yom kodim yitziras havlad. The Gemara says that 40 days before a child is conceived, a bas kol calls out, a voice comes out from the heaven, and it tells you who your shidduch is going to be, tells you where you're going to live. Okay, there's a lot of questions. How does this impact one's free will in choosing a spouse, and choosing a profession, and choosing a place to live? But there's such a notion that 40 days before the creation of something, right, there's a declaration on high. There's an understanding that something's about to happen. What is 40 days before creation of the world? Well, you have to do a little math. When was creation of the world? So you're going to say Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah really is the sixth day of creation. Because Rosh Hashanah, the first day of Tishrei, is the day that man was created. Man was created on the sixth day of creation. So we have to count back a few days to get to day one of creation. Day one of creation was the 25th of Elul. What is exactly 40 days before the 25th of Elul? Tu B'Av. So Tu B'Av really is that first encounter with the Yom Noram. It's that first introduction to HaKadosh Baruch Hu creating the world and having expectations for the world. And that's, again, that's Mishenechles Av Mamatim B'Simcha. When the father walked in, it was very uncomfortable. But now, once you get to Tu B'Av, all of a sudden, now there's a deeper connection that's being felt between the child and the father. What's so special about Tu B'Av? We spoke a little bit last week. The Mishnah told us there are two holidays, right? To pick the two greatest holidays in the calendar year. It's Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av. What's the commonality between these two? The Gemara says, Yom Kippur, we know what Yom Kippur is. Yom Kippur is a day of of forgiveness. It's a day of mechila, slicha and kapar. Is Tu B'Av a day of mechila? Is Tu B'Av a day of forgiveness? According to what we're explaining, it would be nice if it was. Is Tu B'Av a day of reconciliation, of forgiveness? The answer is yes. The Gemara says, what happened on Tu B'Av? It was the day that the Shvatim decided that they would allow for tribal intermarriage. It was the day that Shevet Binyamin, which had gotten into a lot of trouble with the incident of Pelegesh Begiva, was invited back into Klal Yisrael. It's a day of Shidduchim. It's a day of things coming together. Okay, so it's a day of reconciliation, but is it a day of forgiveness? Is it a day of Mechilas Avonos, of having our iniquities lifted off of us? The answer is yes. Why? If you look in Source 14, two lines from the end, says the Yid HaKadosh, Rav Yaakov Yitzchak Miparshischa, one of the great Hasidim, one of the great Rebbes from that world called Parshischa, from where the Kotzker Rebbe comes, and from where the Ger Hasidim descend. It all started in that world called Parshischa. And there was a holy Jew known as the Yid HaKadosh, the holy Jew of Parshischa. So he says, I will show you how Tu B'Av is in fact a day of forgiveness. Tu B'Av, in this back part of the month of Av, is an opportunity for Mechilas Avonos. It's very much connected to the days that are coming, Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. Why? Because Tu B'Av, we said, is a day of reconciliation, a day of marriages. Yom Shehutru Shvatim Levo Zeh B'Zeh, a day that we allowed for tribal intermarriage. There were many weddings that took place on Tu B'Av. It was a day of celebration in the sense of marriage. What happens when a person gets married? Says the Yira Kadosh, again two lines from the end in Source 14, Digam b'Tu B'Av have a Yom Tov Atzmo Kiyom HaKippurim, just like Yom Kippur is a day of having your sins removed, so too Tu B'Av. Why? What is it about Tu B'Av that removes Averos? Da Anose Isha Mochlen Lo Kol Avonosav. He finds for us a Talmud Yerushalmi in Maseches Bikurim that says that there are a few people who get a fresh start. One of those people who gets a fresh start is a chassan or kala. The Gemara specifies specifically a man who marries a woman, but the post can say it goes in both directions. When a man and a woman get married, they both are entitled to a clean slate. So if Tu B'Av is a day of Shidduchim, that means Tu B'Av is a day of Mechila. It's the beginning of the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. It's the beginning of the Tshuva process. It's the reconciliation after the Moed, after the getting caught by the father, right, and feeling embarrassed and feeling ashamed and not having the words to even know how to have that conversation. But then the beginning of that reconciliation takes place. These weeks, the Zayin de Nechemta, the 7 weeks, where we read Haftorahs of Nechama, all working towards that reconciliation that's taking place. And therefore, I want to share with you an amazing gematria. There's a not very well-known sefer called Rishumim B'Shmecha in Source 15. It was written by Rav Yitzchak Shlomo Ungar. He was a Rav in Eretz Yisrael, in Bnei Brak. And he brings in the name of his father. He says that the gematria of the words Chamisha Asar Ba'av, he says it's 928, the same gematria as Ksiva V'Chasima Tova. Why? Because on Tu B'Av, Hashem is already offering us the possibility of complete reconciliation. I'm willing to grant you a great year, Ksiva V'Chasima Tova. That's what Hashem says to you on Tu B'Av. Mishnichlas Av, when I walked into the room at the beginning of Chodesh Av, you hung your head in shame, you were embarrassed to even look at me. But now, from Tu B'Av forward, Chodesh El, Rosh Hashanah, yes, the Av on Rosh Hashanah is also somewhat frightening. I'm still on Av. Again, the primary presentation of the Father is one of Yira. But recognize, again, there's a softening of the din. There's potential for reconciliation. There's the offer of a chesiva of a chesima tova. Let's have an important conversation. And let's both walk out of this encounter, this moed, with a much deeper perspective. But again, the challenge to us is that we have to take advantage of it. And we have to be willing to have that conversation with our Father. We have to be willing to transition from feeling so embarrassed and so uncomfortable and feeling so angered by the fact that He needed to punish us and take away our Beis HaMikdash and bring, again, Tu B'Av, Tish B'Av is a day of all of our Chorban, whether it's the Holocaust, the pogroms, or personal struggles and difficulties in our lives. It's the day where we take it out on our Father. We scream it out with our Father. We recite the Kinos. We have a right, for Salvation said, to be angry on Tish B'Av. Right? But now we have to be willing to show a sign of maturity. To understand why the parent was so disappointed when they caught the child in that negative behavior. And to accept that offer for reconciliation. And this is true, by the way, if it was just a regular father and a child. All the more so when we're talking about what? We're talking about a king and a prince. We're talking about a king and a princess. We're talking about God, the creator of the world, and the chosen people who are expected all the more so to carry themselves in a certain way. In the Torah's Avos, in Source 16, the first Slonim Rebbe is quoted as explaining what is the double Nechama that we just experienced this past Shabbos. The pasuk says, and Chazal explain it, Chatu bekiflayim, you sinned doubly, Laku bekiflayim, you were doubly afflicted, and of course the end of that Maimer Chazal is, you achieve a double nechama. Where is the double chet? The pasuk says in Eicha, chet chata Yerushalayim. It's in footnote number 8. Chet chata Yerushalayim, a double sin for Jerusalem. And yet, this past Shabbos we read a double nechama. Nachamu, nachamu, ami. What's all the doubling? What was doubly bad about our behavior? And what's the double reconciliation that, again, we're experiencing in these days? Says the Slonim Rebbe, Mashal leben melech. Imagine a prince, Shesarach al aviv melech, who did something to rebel against his father. The father expected something, and the child did something different. But it's not just any child, it's a prince. So says the Mashal, Ve'kos alav b'mida kafula. So the king is doubly upset with his child. Why? Memasha ekos al acher. The king is doubly frustrated by the prince than he would be with someone else from the kingdom. Or a regular parent would be frustrated with their child. Why is that so? Because the king says, not only did you let me down, again, as a parent to a child, but you're a prince. If the prince is caught in misbehavior, right, it's doubly embarrassing. I wouldn't expect this from you if we weren't the royal family. All the more so since we're the royal family. So the king is doubly disappointed. But what happens when that prince or princess, when that Jewish person is willing to undergo this process that we're being offered now, this reconciliation, and we go through the process, we take advantage of it, and we turn ourselves around to become that Bas Melech or that Ben Melech who Hashem expects of us, there's this tremendous nechama, there's this tremendous pride that Hashem has in us. Ulam, kishem ischaret acharkach, v'shovelav. When the child returns and has charata, has regret, and becomes the child that the child is expected to be, as aygama iskarvus kafula, then the feelings of closeness are also doubled over. May asher yitzal achar. Then if just a regular subject of the kingdom had strayed from the king, v'anachama b'kiflai, and says the Slonim Rebbe, that's the nachmu nachmu avi. The double nechama is the fact that, again, as a ben melech, as a bas melech, we've disappointed our Father in heaven doubly. Not only do we not act the way that any child should act towards a parent, but all the more so we fail to appreciate our unique place in the world. And therefore, when we come and we correct that, the feeling of nechama, the pride that we give Hashem, that not only are you acting like a normal, decent human being, but you're acting like a Jew who understands what it means to be chosen as a Jew, it's a tremendous, tremendous nechama for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To take pride in who we are. Yes.
So I just think that the two nechamas and the two, it's not just about the personal. I mean, I know you're saying you're a Jew, but the nechama you're taking and the sin you're taking is for the nation. So when you sin, it's not just affecting you. The sin you make could affect Hashem's decision on the whole nation.
Right, that's a good point. The nachamu nachamu, right, the chet chata Yerushalayim, is that if Yerushalayim and a Jew understands not only that need for self-perfection, but how every move you make is going to affect not only the entire Jewish nation, but the entire universe, right? So that every sin has that, I guess, that double failure of failing to be who you're supposed to be and failing to recognize the impact on those around you. And the nechama is also doubled. That makes a lot of sense. The Slonim Rebbe has another verb. The Slonim Rebbe, the first Slonim Rebbe, has another pshat in a pasuk in Mishnah, which I think goes hand in hand with what he's saying here. And that is, again, when the father was so upset, the reason Hashem was so upset with us on Tisha B'Av, what we've tried to work through the first half of Chodesh Av, as uncomfortable as it was, all of that is rooted in His deep love for us. And He has to be tougher with us because of the recognition of who we are. And not to turn off when Hashem comes down hard on Klal Yisrael, but just the opposite, to turn it on, to realize that He appreciates who I can be. And that's why He's so frustrated with me. The pasuk in Mishlei says in the third parak in Source 17, Musar Hashem b'ni al timas. This could be read as a pasuk that's calling to anyone in the world. Musar Hashem b'ni, the musar of Hashem, my child, do not reject. Meaning, be open to rebuke. Be open to someone giving you musar. No one likes musar. No one likes to be rebuked. No one likes to be told they're doing something wrong. Says Shlomo HaMelech in Mishlei, be open to musar. Be receptive to musar. Al timas, don't be repulsed by it. Don't say, how could that person tell me? They also have a lot of things. Sure, they also have a lot of things they do wrong. But this is something you do wrong, and they're pointing it out. And even if they're not saying it in a nice way, you should be receptive to musar. That's the pasuk pshat in the pasuk. The Slonim Rebbe read it very differently. He said, what is the greatest musar that Hashem gives? And really, what's the musar that every musar that Hashem gives is really one message. He reads it like this. Musar Hashem, b'nei. You know what the musar of Hashem is? B'nei, you're my child. And if you would just understand that, then you would make totally different choices for yourself, for those around you. You have an appreciation. Al timas, don't reject the Musar. Don't reject an appreciation for who you are. Don't reject that reality of that God said about you, Banim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem, that you're my child and I expect you to act a certain way. A Jew has to understand who he or she is when we walk down the street. What was the last pasuk of this past week's Haftarah? How did the Navi Yeshaya leave us? Nachamu Nachamu Ami. How does he leave it? What's his closing message? Source 18. Su'u Merom Einecha. U'ru'u Mi Bara Eila. Listen to this. This is the Dvar Torah of the day. I always like to point out one thing that you got to remember. This is gorgeous. Listen to this. Su'u Merom Einecha. U'ru'u Mi Bara Eila. Says the pasuk. Says Yeshaya and Navi. Lift your eyes to the heavens and see who created the world. And the Rambam writes, the Rambam says, you could come to believe in God simply by looking at the natural world. You can. It's unbelievable. And today, you don't even have to travel. You can just look at pictures online. Right? There are websites dedicated entirely to just magnificent, beautiful things. Magnificent, beautiful pictures of nature, of Hashem's world. Ma rabu masach Hashem. So says the Navi Yishai, just look to the heavens. Su'u marom einecham. Lift your eyes on high. Uru'u and see mi bar eila. See who created all this. You think this was some grand mistake, some lucky series of events? Look at the precision of the universe and understand that there must be a creator. That's what the Navi Yeshaya told us in his closing remarks of this past Shabbos, Nachmu Nachmu Avi. But the Chortkav HaRebbe once offered the following explanation. We know that the Jewish people are compared to the stars. The Pasuk says in Source 19, Avraham Avinu was told, go outside, look to the heavens, Usfora Kol Chavim, count the stars, Ko Yiyazarach. Your children are going to be like the stars. So you know what the Chortkav HaRebbe said? It's so beautiful. He said the same way that you can look at the natural world and be so blown away by its beauty, right? By the way that the natural world, so to speak, carries itself. It's so captivating. It's so inspiring. So too, Su'umarom Einechem U'umi Bar Eila. The same way you can look to the stars, the actual stars, and see, wow, there must be a creator. So too, Ko Yazarach. Avram is being told that a Jew walks down the street and the world should be able to look at a Jew and say, wow, from the way that this Jew carries himself or herself, it must be there's a creator to the world. It must be there's a God in the world. The same way the natural world can inspire you to belief in God, a Jew has to walk down the street with the belief that if someone looks at me, they say, wow, I see godliness in that person. Without even talking to us. In 1928, Rav Baruch Ber Leibowitz from Kamenitz, a European Rosh Yeshiva, came to America, came to New York by boat. 1928. There wasn't a lot of Orthodox, you know, Jewish life in America at the time. It wasn't like, you know, like today, if a big Rosh Yeshiva came to America, and everyone would announce it on all the newspapers. And right, Rav Baruch Ber was a little European rabbi who didn't have, you know, a big following in America or anything of the sort. He came to New York in 1928, and somehow he had a meeting. He ended up with some type of encounter, a moed, with Mayor Jimmy Walker. And there was a public gathering in the streets of New York, somewhere in the middle of New York City. And Mayor Jimmy Walker, having had very little encounter with Rav Baruch Ber, who was not anyone who was at all involved, he wasn't a politician, he was a Rosh Yeshiva. He sat and learned Gemara, and he gave Gemara Shirim and answered up Rambams. Jimmy Walker was so captivated by this Jew, and just looking at him, he presented him with the keys to the city, whatever that does, I don't know what that does, but that's a chash of honor. He gave him the keys to the city, and he said in a public address, Mayor Jimmy Walker said, this Rabbi Leibowitz, right, who's come to visit us, he said, he is living proof that Darwin is incorrect. There's no way, after spending a few minutes with this human being, that I could believe that man came from a monkey. There has to be a God in the world. That's what the Chortkav HaRebbe is saying. The same way you can look at the stars in the sky and see God, so too, Ko Yazarach. That people could look at a Jew and see how a Jew carries himself or herself and says there must be a God in the world. And that's Chayil Chata Yerushalayim, Chatu B'Kaflayim, the double disgrace of a Jew not being who he's supposed to be, of getting caught by not just our father, but getting caught by the king of the world in our misbehavior, but again taking advantage of the possibility of a double nechama, of a ksiva v'chasima tova, the gematria chamisha asar ba'av, the offer that Hashem is making us. I saw a story, Rebbetzin Feige Tursky, who's the wife of Rav Michal Tursky from Milwaukee, in Wisconsin. She told the following story. It's a beautiful story. She said there was a woman who took her child shopping. It was right around Pesach time. And she wanted to buy her child some new clothing, a new suit, and new shoes for Pesach. Baruch Hashem, they could afford to do so. And they were in this store shopping a bit. And this woman looks out the window, and she sees the child who clearly his family was not able to afford new clothing for Pesach, looking through the window, you know, looking at all those mothers and children who are able to afford and buying something new for the upcoming Yom Tov. So this woman walks out of the store and she sees the pain in this child's face. And she says to the child, "Come, I want to take you inside." She takes the child inside and buys this child a new suit, a new pair of shoes. And the kid is so shocked by this sign of kindness that the child blurts out to this woman, "Are you God?" So she's totally caught off guard, but she composes herself for a second. She says back to him, she says, "No, I'm just one of his children. I'm just one of his children." So the child said, I could tell you must be related. I knew you must be related. The way that you treated me, you must be related. Right? And it's true. That's what it means. That's what we read next Shabbos. Banim atem l'Hashem Elokeich. That everything that we've gone through during these days, this encounter with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, is all towards a reconciliation that comes afterwards. It's all because Hashem loves us. It's not because Hashem is trying to break us or destroy us. And that's the opportunity that we have in these coming days, as we get closer and closer to Chodesh El, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, where again, there's still a superficial presentation of din. But to realize that, no, the din is behind us. Mishenichnas Av, and the father walked in, it was very uncomfortable. Now the father's walking out, and we have to have a deeper and more mature approach to everything that we've gone through. In the second to last source, Maseches Yoma, says Rabbi Akiva, the last mission of Maseches Yoma, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Ashreichem Yisrael, how lucky you are, Jewish people. Lefnei mi atem etarim. Who is going to put you through the Tara process? The Tara process is a difficult process. To purify yourself is a difficult process. Mi metar eschem. Avichem Shabbat Shemayim. And the Sar Shalom of Bells, Rav Shalom of Bells, the first Bells of Rabbi, used to emphasize. Look what Rabbi Akiva is telling us. Jews appreciate. Who is putting you through this process? It's Avichem Shabbat Shemayim. It's your father. It's not a melech. A melech can't forgive. A melech's punishment is punitive, period. But the father's punishment is to make you greater. It's to help refine you. It's to be metahir you. Avichem Shabbat Shemayim is the one who's purifying you. So again, as we come to the end of Chodesh Av, let's try to understand. Mishenichnas Av. When the father walked in, it was very uncomfortable. And we were forced into a moed, into an encounter that we really didn't want to have. And Chet Chatal Yerushalayim, we doubly disappointed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But now, from Tu B'Av forward, it's not Chodesh Av anymore, it's Chodesh Menachem, like the Chassam Sofer told us. Hashem is extending His hand. He's offering us the possibility of reconciliation. He's offering the softer side, right, the other face, so to speak, of the Av, of the Father. And I conclude with the final source from Rav Aryeh Levin, the great Tzaddik from Yerushalayim. We're going to say, in the Tfilos of the Yom Noram, Rachameinu Kerachim Av Albanim. Hashem, have mercy on us, the same way that a father has mercy on his child. Rav Aryeh Levin, they printed some of his comments on Pirkei Avos, and in the back of the Sefer, he has the following insight. Rachameinu Kerachim Av Albanim. We say on the Yom Noram, Hashem, have mercy on us the way that a father has mercy on a child. So says Rav Aryeh Levin, V'chizoka Kekadosh Baruch Hu, does Hashem need this comparison? Do I have to say to Hashem, I have to explain to you, Hashem, why couldn't I say, Rachameinu, have mercy upon us? Hashem needs, what do you mean by mercy? Oh, you know what we meant, Hashem? We meant, Kerachim Av Albanim, like a father has mercy on a child. We have to explain to Hashem what type of mercy we're looking for. Why do I need to express it in such a precise way? As if Hashem doesn't know what mercy is. Says Rav Aryeh Levin in the second line, where it's bolted. El kashem shirachim av shal av albanim. Hinam tivyim, av galuyim, umuvanim lakol. The same way that a father, hopefully, right, the love that the father has for the child is natural. And that love expresses itself openly, hopefully much of the time, even though again the father's, like we saw in Rashi, the father's presentation is yira, is pachad, is din, and yet the father's love is something that of course is seen by all. Kein mevakshim anu. We know Hashem that you always love us. But we want that what? That the love should be revealed. Kein mevakshim anu. Shechasadav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu imanu lo yunistar milvad. We know that you loved us for the beginning part of the month also. But it was tough love. And now we're asking for a different type of love. We're asking what? Rachaminu Karachim Av Albanim. The same way that a parent's love for a child is something that you see, that is expressed outwardly. El Guluyim, Nirim, Umuchshim, Muchashim. Right? That it's expressed, it's readily felt, it's understood, and it's experienced. Right? It's not just a theoretical love that we know is there. So too we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rachaminu Karachim Av Albanim. Let your love spill over. Let it be something that we see. Not something that we just know about in the abstract. So Bezrat Hashem, we should take advantage again of the offer. It's an offer. It takes maturity to Nachum Nachum. It's Nachum Nachum in both directions. Hashem says, I'll reconcile with you if you'll reconcile with me. We have to hold hands and work together. But Amir Hashem, as we start to say goodbye to Chodesh Av, and we start thinking about Chodesh El and the Yom Noram, And as we part ways, as our Shiur series for the summer comes to an end, hopefully we've all grown from the experience, and hopefully we're able to walk out with a deeper perspective. That the same way Mishnichlis Av Mamatim Besimcha, when the father first entered the room, there was a miyut of Simcha. Hopefully that when the Av walks out of the room, there's this tremendous joy that's felt by each and every one of us.